You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
And welcome to this week's edition of The Mountain Gardener. This is your host, Ken Lane. We're here every week talking about the landscapes of northern Arizona. And this is the season we live for in the summer. Monsoons have arrived. And they'll stay here for another, two, 3 months, through September or so. It just varies. You never know what the good Lord will give us. But that's generally starts in July and goes through September. The amount of moisture we get, you never quite know. Some of you folks out in that 69 corridor, out in the valleys, you have been dumped on. I'm hearing stories in Chino Valley that the entire valley is coming alive with this 1-inch sheet of rain flowing through the valley, heading to the big Chino. Out 69 corridor, you folks, Yavapai Hills, the ranch, that area, you folks have had, torrential rain. It just flows, and then we're hearing erosion control is going down, washing some things out, causing there's so much rain. And that's the way it works. We don't get this slow, drizzly, gooey, soaking in rain. It all comes at once and then doesn't soak into your soil. It actually flows away from your yard. That's where those dry washes start to fill up. But eventually, if we get a few weeks of this, it slowly starts to soak in, and you'll just see the forest come alive. The lichen. Lichen is this green, almost like moss. It's not moss, though. It's like this green covering on the bark of trees and on rocks. And as the humidity increases, as we get some rain, it'll actually start to glow. The most spectacular lichen, I don't even know what you call it, torrential rain event. I was hiking down the Grand Canyon and went out to, I love to go down to Indian Gardens, then go out to the point, overlook the river. Don't go to the bottom, but I go out to the point where you can look, dangle your feet over the edge of the canyon, and you can hear the roar of the river. You can see the rafters going by. It's magnificent. Birds are flying underneath your feet. I mean, there's another canyon within the Grand Canyon, and you can hike out to it from Indian Gardens. It's like another, a couple miles. Have lunch, then hike back out. I was coming back out last summer. Rain was up in the canyon. It was just, what direction is that? East of the canyon. You could see clouds spilling over down into the canyon. Went, we need to get back. We need to get back quick. You could die out here. I think the number one way to die at the Grand Canyon is not falling in, but it's being struck by lightning. And so I'm booking it back with a buddy, back to the canyon wall, going, I'll be safe out here. And the rain was starting to come. We never did get rained on, so that's okay. It was just frightening. You had this urge to get back to the canyon wall. And the lichen lit up. Literally, the canyon walls changed color. It went from black to this gold, just beautiful lichen color. Went, whoa, I've never seen the canyon like this. And the Grand Canyon is literally alive. The walls are alive with lichen. And so are your boulders, and so are your trees, and so is the forest. And this is the time when they come alive. It's a magical thing to watch. I love it. It's what I love most about the monsoon season, other than it takes the pressure off my water bill. Okay, my water bill was a little high last month. Okay, I got that, but I'm a gardener. This is my hobby. And if it's truly a hobby, you do need to spend some energy and some money and some time and some therapy, and you need to spend some on your hobby. And so they have an extra $80 in my water bill. I'm okay with that. No worries. And I fully expected June will be the peak of my water bill. I'll start to cut it back in July when I start to feel like my plants have revitalized and come back alive. So this is the cycle where you can start to hone back. Don't water as frequently or as long your landscapes. Even your containers, you could probably, because it is cloud covered, there's humidity, there might be some afternoon rain, you can maybe even crank that back to every other day. Whereas I have been watering every morning before the heat of the day. So I haven't been brave enough yet. I'll monitor it another week, see how it goes. I'll let you all know if you tune in regularly. I'll let you know when I start to adjust my irrigation back, when I start to hone it, don't water as much out into the yard. Your water softeners. You all know that salt is not good for your plants. And water softened water for your plants is not ideal. If you're using water softened water instead of just well water or city water, then you should be using potassium-based salt in your water softener, that canister, that holder, instead of sodium-based. So especially for gardeners, you should switch this out. So in the winter, I use sodium-based salt in my water softener. And during the growing season, because I'm using the hose to supplement the water periodically, I'll switch to potassium-based. Now, it is more expensive. Potassium is, I think, Costco, I paid 16 or 18, or it's just under 20 bucks. Whereas a regular sodium base will be 5, 6, 7, 8 bucks. So it's, about twice as much. But worth it if you're a gardener, because it won't cause this white caking buildup to build up on your containers. It won't cause this yellowing or burning of the tips of the foliage. It'll help the fruit to stay on longer instead of fruit drop. It makes a difference. Salt burn is serious. And so watch that if you've got a water softener. I would say, especially if you're going to spray. If you're spraying from a hose and you're going to put, let's say you're killing grasshoppers or blister beetles or aphids, whatever, you're putting a bug killer through a hose-in sprayer that's coming off the house and the water went through a water softener and has sodium, now you're putting salt plus a bug killer and it can do some serious damage. You can burn the foliage on your plants. So just watch that. And it's unique to a dry climate where we have a lot of water softeners here because our water is so hard, so alkaline, such heavy mineral, we often put water softeners in, especially if you get these beautiful counters, things that spot, these beautiful built-in showers. Just you put a lot of energy into remodeling your house. A water softener is almost where you start. And so this is something to watch. If you're new to the area and new to water softeners, watch that. So you want to change it out. So for this gardener, remember, my name's Ken. I'm your friend. We're just leaning over the fence, the backyard, and we're just talking what's worked for this gardener. And hopefully we share that so you make less mistakes. You want to make less mistakes. So that's one thing I do. I change out in the winter to sodium because it's just cheaper. And then in the summer, during my growing season, starting spring, usually in March, April, I'll change it over to potassium. So there you go, especially if you're spraying for bugs. I did have to spray this week for spider mites. Oh my goodness, they were eating my hops, my roses, my squash. I had been harvesting crookneck and zucchini squash, and they obliterated my squash. As soon as I sprayed them, cleaned them up, I just sprayed them with a multi-purpose insect spray. It's a bug killer I make here at the garden center. It works great on the summer bugs. I mean, it just really works well. Knocked them right back, cleaned up my squash, and fertilized them a little bit. And I mean, today, I mean, instantly, it's only been a few days and they look better, greener. The symptoms were, I saw in my hops, I had a little bit of webbing, not a lot. It's hardly noticeable, but the leaves looked like they were turning yellow and like they were getting crusty, dry. What happens is this little tiny mite, you can't even see it, is scraping the foliage, literally, little by little, off of the leaves. And so the leaves are there, but there's no tissue to them. And so they look dry. So I'm going, what the heck is going on with my plants? So I just took a hose end sprayer. We've got one by Fertilome. It's got a brass nozzle. You hook it onto your hose like you do a car wash hose, like a hose that you wash the driveway with. It's got a canister that helps you, that administers the right amount, exactly pre-measures all the bug killer that spray. So I just put that on, filled up the canister with my multi-purpose insect spray, and I hosed down everything till it was dripping wet. And it just made a difference, immediate difference. Already I've got little tiny squashes, flowers that were there opened, starting to, they pollinated just like that. And so watch for that. Any kind of webbing, or if it looks dry, your plant, that's probably from a bug. Could be. I'll be right back with Lisa Waterslane in the studio.
You're listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, also known as the Mountain Gardener. Ken can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Listen each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to mountain landscapes.
Wondering why the grass is always greener on the other side? Well, it's probably because your neighbor used the all-purpose fertilizer from Waters Garden Center. Monsoon is right around the corner, and it's the perfect time to feed your plants. Waters all-purpose fertilizer is the only organic made especially for Arizona mountain soils. Don't buy a bunch of different fertilizer for your flowers, veggies, trees, or grass. This one does it all. The plants on your side will be happier, healthier, well, greener. Safe, natural, organic, Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
We believe retirement means more time to garden and plants make you happier at Waters Garden Center.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
And we have Lisa Waterslane in the studio. She comes each week with your garden questions, and we are hot off the trails of New Mexico.
Yes.
Roswell, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a little hole in the state where no one lives. But they go to, I mean, it reminds me of Prescott, Arizona in the 70s and early 80s. Didn't it? Small, mm-hmm. intimate, but we had a family reunion there each week since the kids have launched. We've got four kids. They're all in their 20s. They're starting to get married. Got half of them married off. And we like hanging out with each other, but we have a hard time getting together because none of the kids live here. They live all over the country. And so Roswell, New Mexico, why did we pick Roswell? It's in the center of all the kids.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you let everyone know
located.
Where all your kids live, my dear?
Well, we got two in Texas and one in school in California. So that's three.
That's three in Texas and one
three
in California.
Three in Texas.
Yeah. Are you with us? Your mind is in Ireland, isn't it? You've forgotten how many kids you
that's
got.
That's only two kids.
That's good.
I forget, yeah.
And two grandkids,
and
grandsons.
Yes.
So four, there are six and three. So that's kind of fun to hang out. Had a pool and a big property. We could ride the quads around, and they just had a good time. And Roswell is the place of UFO landings and Area 51. And it's interesting. I wore my aluminum foil hat around town. And the visitors didn't know what to make of that. But the locals go, cool, that's great. You know that doesn't really work. You know, you still get the beams. You still hear voices, you know.
No, he really did wear his foil hat all around town.
I did. It was fun.
It was 100 and some degrees, and you wore your foil hat.
Know, some people wear a plastic suit to lose weight. I wear an aluminum foil hat because they are crazy hot. But, man, I had antennas on it. Me and my grandson took pictures together. It was in our aluminum foil hat. We had fun.
You did. Yes.
So this we should cover garden questions, or we want to go over the details of Roswell?
I think we shared enough about Roswell.
That's enough about that.
That's all I'm going to say about that. We had a good time.
So what kind of questions we got this week?
Well, our first question is from Tom. So his cherry tree is done. Great year. Lots of fruit.
Yeah.
But he wants to know, should he fertilize now? Does the tree need some food now that it's done producing? The tree still looks healthy. Everything's good. But should he feed it or just wait?
Yeah, I would definitely feed it. Now, fruit trees, it takes a tremendous amount of energy to create all that fruit. It's not just from the sunlight. It's from the soil and the atmosphere. And it's trees are pulling up nutrients from everywhere. And if you don't, your harvest won't be as good next year. You won't get this summer growth. You won't get, it could yellow on you. So get chlorosis is what we call that. So it keeps it good. And the beauty of organic food. So we recommend fruit trees. You fertilize those with all-purpose plant food. It's a food that we make here at Waters Garden Center. And it's a natural food. So as the rain hits it or as you irrigate, it releases just a little food over a very long period of time. And the main ingredient in that particular food, and you'll smell it when you open it up, has an earthy smell. It smells like cottonseed meal and some bird guano and stuff and fairy dust and iron and sulfur and all this stuff. It's really good at releasing over a real long period of time. So you get this long, deep feed, and it's perfect when you apply it during the monsoon season. So you get better uptake. So definitely anything, your apricots, they've been peaches, or I would just fertilize everything, especially evergreens, pinyon pines, any pines, spruce, cedar, cypress. If your blue spruce isn't so blue, fertilize it. That's a nutrient thing purely. I would say anything that blooms, crepe myrtles, Rose of Sharon's, anything that's been in bloom, like lilacs, it takes a lot of energy to produce those flowers and fruits to do that. If you don't do that, what will happen is within just a year or two, your lilacs won't bloom anymore. They'll be green, but not a blossom out there. Mm-hmm. And so if a month or two ago, everyone else's lilacs were beautiful and yours are kind of weak, small, emaciated, not as many, or didn't bloom at all, that's purely a nutrient thing. Put that all-purpose plant food on now. Do it again in the fall, and you will have the most beautiful spring flowers you've had in years just by fertilizing. So I'd say absolutely. In other parts of the country, you've got soil, so you've actually got nutrients. Here, we don't have nutrients. We don't have fertilizer. We don't have raw nutrients. We just have rock and caliche and everything else showing up. So you need to fertilize more often here than you do in other parts of the country. So what else we got?
Well, Wendy wants to know, she lives out in Chino, she is looking for a suggestion for a good tree to put on the southwest side of her house.
So southwest, that's hot.
Oh, yeah.
So shrub or tree?
Tree.
Or short?
Looking for a shade tree.
Shade tree. Okay. Well, there you've got to work with me. You can help me out with this. Of course, mm-hmm. One of the most popular. And we didn't think this used to be able to grow out in the valley areas, mm-hmm. but aspens are shining out there. They're doing exceptionally well, and they don't take up a lot of real estate. So it kind of depends on the size of your property. Small properties, aspens are good. Chino is famous for their larger lots, though.
Right.
And so maybe you go with maples or tulip trees. Beautiful. They're starting to bloom now all around town. So big, big leaf, hard, being dense shade, sycamore. Which related to our Arizona sycamore. What else we got out there?
Sweet gum.
Oh, good.
Would do well.
Yeah.
Elm. And everybody always thinks, oh, elm. They're always thinking the Siberian elm.
Yeah.
But the other elms that we have are actually, they aren't the weed tree that everybody thinks of.
Yeah. We have the Prescott Courthouse elm, the American elm, which in the Midwest has been killed by all the Dutch elm disease. But we've got the Rocky Mountains between us and there, and it hasn't found its way this way, nor do I think it will. So
yeah.
I think those big-leafed elms, and that Siberian elm does, or the slime flux. There's a couple things. I would never sell someone a Siberian elm, but I would in a heartbeat. The newer varieties of elms are coming out.
Definitely. What about like a cap or a Bradford pear?
Oh, sure.
Ornamental pear?
Good 35-foot by 30-foot wide tree, great shade tree. Pretty white flowers in the spring would do exceptionally well. The beauty on the south side, too, is with the leafy tree, is that it loses its leaves in the winter. Oh, it's deciduous. So you get the fall color, but mainly you get the solar gain in the winter. So the walls heat up, but during the summer, they're shaded. So you get the cooling effect. So quite good. We've got aspens and birch on our south side. So I love birch. It's hardier than aspens. Slower growing, but more methodical and just hardier, robust. And we've got it shading our south side and our air conditioner unit. So if you can keep that condenser cooler, it's going to be more efficient. You won't use as much energy to cool your house during the summer. So those are, I'm sure, locust, ash. We could go on and on. Come and take the tour of the trees. We probably have 1,000 trees out there. We'll show you which ones. Definitely. We're growing Chino Valley in your yard.
You could put fruit trees there too, huh?
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, and Chino Valley's got all that great water out there. So apples and pears, cherries, apricots, plums, all would do really, really well out there. Yeah, and production.
It is. It's a good fruit tree year for everybody. It's been kind of crazy.
We had a party at a friend's house out at American Ranch, out Williamson Valley Road, kind of out a ways, and the pear trees were loaded at their house. I mean, just you wanted to take one off, not quite ready, another month or two, but you just wanted. You could see the pears, you could taste them in your mouth. You just wanted to try them. The apples were loaded, heavy. This is a great fruit year, and this year is exceptional. So it just depends. It was moist in the winter, and the frost didn't take them. I would think right now with the monsoons, you could plant blackberries, raspberries, grapes. Oh, they would really like the warm soils. You might even fruit a little bit this year, but for sure you'd set the stage for next year to be over the top fruit. But mainly you get it rooted and growing this year, as opposed to waiting till next spring.
Definitely.
It's far better time to
plant.
Great
time to plant.
So that's it for this segment. Ken and Lisa Lane and the Mountain Gardeners. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back with more garden tips, tricks, and advice for the mountains of Arizona.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona, with local garden expert and the mountain gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Hi, Ken here with the Plants of the Week and our Lavender Shades Blooming Penta.
One of the best butterfly attracting plants. It's right up there with milkweed, only prettier.
Hummingbirds have to dance around all the butterflies of this deeply colored summer bloomer.
Plant a few in the vegetable garden to attract pollinators that help tomatoes and squash set more fruit, all for under $10.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love to garden, they love to shop.
We believe strawberries taste better picked fresh from the garden at Waters Garden Center.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and garden advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now, welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
So the monsoon rains, take advantage of that right now. It is a good time to plant. A lot of my Phoenix folks, it's this funny thing. Palm Springs, Tucson, you all are used to hibernating. You just go indoors, crank the air conditioner, and pay your $500 AC bill. You don't think you can be outdoors. We don't live in the deserts. And 89, 92 degrees, it's not hot to plants. Especially when the evenings cool down so nicely, this is a tremendous time to be planting. Take advantage of the humidity, the warmth. I would say now is a better time to be planting than even the spring season. The reason being, the spring season, you get these huge temperature swings. It's nice during the day. It's frosting and snowing at night. The soil is bitter cold. It has not warmed up. The plants don't like to be. It'd be like me taking you in your Bermuda shorts and then throwing you in an ice bath. It's that. So you take this beautiful plant that's been growing. You plant it in cold soil. It just hangs out. It doesn't grow. It's cold. It's shivering. It's just staying there in the spring. And then it starts to leaf out. It gets blasted by this cold, hot, drying winds. Now, the soil is warm, so it goes, I'm in my Bermuda shorts, and I'm going to lay out on the beach. I'm just going to enjoy every month. I'm going to root and grow and be happy. And the humidity is up. It's not as windy. You didn't get blasted by this almost like a blowtorch or hot dryer or something in the spring because the air is so dry and there's just no moisture in it. Right now, not only is there moisture in the air, but there's cloud cover. So it's shaded in the afternoon, and then you can get some afternoon rains. It's potential. So if you fertilize your entire landscape, whether you're planting or not, right now, you can get a whole nother section of a whole nother set of growth on your plants. You can get those hedgerows or privacy screens. You want your neighbor's a contractor and getting a debris pile piling up on your property line. You want to screen that off. Now push those red-tipped photinias, push the junipers, push the silverberry, push that screening pine or spruce so that you can't see it. You can get a whole nother set of growth right now by fertilizing. That and many of our plants, we've been watering just way too much in the month of June. It's been hot. It's been dry. The plants have suffered. And so the fertilizer, the plant foods we gave them last spring, we flushed all that away. And so some of your plants are starting to get off color. They aren't as green as they used to be. They're not blooming like they were. They might even be having some fruit drop or some the yellowing of leaves. That's all an indication that you're out of food. And so your plants are on this water diet. If we put you on a water diet for a couple months, how healthy would you be? Your plants are exactly the same way. So now we can start to hone back some. We don't have to fertilize as often up here. If you're using a good, strong, organic, all natural food, because naturals, they take a while to break down. Whereas your petroleum-based products, your Scott's Turf Builders, some of these big names, your Fertilomes, the big names in fertilizers, they're petroleum-based, so they break down very quickly. Sometimes they'll try to control the breakdown or the release so it doesn't burn as easily. But still, they'll encase them in silicone and all kinds of fancy stuff they do. But really, if you just take a good natural food, you spread it out there, something with some cottonseed meals and different kinds of meal, bone meals, blood meals, that kind of stuff. You put a natural food down, it doesn't break down as quickly. And so it's a long, slow feed over a long period of time. So by applying a natural food right now, you pretty much have a food out there for the entire monsoon season. That is perfect. The trees that are really getting stressed, a Fertilome does put together a really good humic acid. So plants, let's say your tree got burned leaves. It's dropping leaves. It just looks stressed. The top of it burned out. It's defoliated. It had gopher or grub issues earlier, and it's just stressed. What I'm telling my clients here at the Garden Center is use two things. One, an all-purpose plant food. Put together one, 744 all-purpose food we have here at Waters. But in addition to that, add to it soil activator. Now, the soil activator is not an actual food. What it does, it's humic acid. It feeds the soil. So the mycorrhizals and the worms and the living, breathing things in the soil become healthier. When your plant sees that the soil is healthy, it goes, whoa, something is going on here. I think I can just re-root here. And so if the plant got a little dry and you lost some roots, you overwatered, you lost some roots, it'll help it regrow roots. Then as the roots are growing, it'll take in the nutrients, and so you'll have a healthier tree. Really plays out strong for the summer feeding if you put both soil activator and the all-purpose food at the same time. Put it down at the same time. Hand spreader, just sling it around the yard. You're good to go. One last question. Someone got confused earlier with what is a plant food and what is a fertilizer. What's the difference? They're the same thing. Same terminology. Just they're the same thing. Some people refer to it as fertilizer. Some refer to it as plant food. But they equate to be the same thing. Be right back with more garden tips, tricks, and advice.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Wondering why my garden looks amazing? Well, that's personal. The personal garden shopper service at Waters Garden Center, that is. Before talking with my personal shopper, I had no idea which plants would be best for me. But now my garden is bursting with flowers and buzzing with hummingbirds. Just go to watersgardencenter.com, click on Shop, and choose Personal Garden Shopper. A Waters Garden expert will pick the perfect plants for you, personally. The Personal Garden Shopper, only at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
We believe searching Waters plants are better than a Google search at Waters Garden Center. And in the studio is my favorite gal, Lisa Waters-Lane, and gardener extraordinaire, very smart gardener, and has a lush palatial landscape, especially in the back there. It's been a pleasure eating in the back deck, breakfast in the morning, the back overlooking our gardens. It's just, it's like hummingbirds, bumblebees, butterflies have been all over our trees. Butterfly bush. I mean, it's a delight to be. We've got a fancy landscape, and it's therapy to go out there. So we have Lisa come in and just share, how did she pull that off? Other than she married a guy that's big, buff, and strong. Loves digging holes.
Well, we used to have our kids dig the holes. Now that they're gone, we thank heavens the yard is landscaped.
It is, yeah. I don't know. I like going out and digging. I like the landscape piece, the irrigation.
You and the Scotty, you dig a hole. That's Scotty true. Digs holes.
Scotty's dogs love digging holes, but Scotty, Scottish Terriers are, they admire you for digging a good hole. She'll just sit there going, good job, Dad. Keep going. You can do this.
She does.
And you'll see Bailey here at the Garden Center every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
A little tiny Scotty, not even 20 pounds, just pint size.
Oh, yeah. She's 20 pounds. Oh, yeah.
Getting a little tubby?
A little bit. She's husky.
That's a Scotty.
She's a full-figured gal.
She'll come and greet you at the Garden Center and just say hi about every other week, every other day.
Yeah.
The Garden Center. Her brother comes in, Vincent. Mm-hmm. The black lab.
Yes.
Of course, he knows who all the gardeners are with treats in their pockets. He can smell it.
Smells it a mile away. He'll come out and greet you in the parking lot if he thinks you have a treat.
So what do you have in mind for this segment this week?
So for this week, I wanted to talk about those base shrubs. So shrubs that go into the landscape, they may not be the most exciting. They're not the superstars.
Okay.
Of the landscape, but they're kind of those shrubs that you need that prefer. They're the backbone of the rest of your landscape.
Gotcha. The anchors that make everything come alive.
Right.
You're thinking like junipers, or you're thinking red tipotinia or what evergreens or shrubs or
to
what?
To me, red tipotinia, if we never planted another one, I know. I know they're out there. Everybody loves them. And they are pretty, especially in the spring when they're putting on those new red leaves. But by gosh, if there's a shrub that's overdone, it's got to be them.
You pay your kids' college tuition just on red tipotinia and Russian sage. Those two plants alone, we can pay for the tuition payments of any college we want. So
that's true.
But they can be. You can get too much of a good thing.
You can.
There's a place for them, although in our yard, we don't even have one.
That's true.
We used other things. I mean, silverberries and some other... I like gold. For some reason, I like gold. It pops in our...
It does pop. But there are some places in your yard where you just need some good basic shrubs to just soften areas in your yard to kind of, up against the house where you just need to soften it, or a fence line, or maybe you need a hedge. You just need some good basic shrubs that are no fuss, no muss, aren't going to require a lot of work.
I like that. What do you got in mind?
Well, for the first one I have, and I know anytime you mention juniper, you can just feel people going,
I knew you were going there.
And I see people cringe anytime I mention them, but there's some good places for junipers out in your yard, and they are not the allergy-inducing toxic plants that everybody thinks they are. Yeah,
those are the natives. Natives are, but they breed that out of the smaller ornamental type junipers. Really, it's not a big issue.
It's not. And if you really want a shrub that's easy care, low water use, junipers are probably it.
Yeah.
The mint julep one, if you want a nice green one, the mint julep gets 5 foot
head high.
Tall. Head height. What about 4 foot wide or so?
I always say 6x6.
That's probably good. So a good base shrub, if you need something to soften the foundations or up against a fence line, it's
down a
driveway.
Good one.
Down a
something
driveway.
Like that, where it's
excellent.
Really hot. Mm-hmm. So we're surrounded by juniper forest, and so junipers are happy here.
Correct.
So that's a good way to go.
Yes. There's another one called the Sea of Gold that has more of a yellow to it. We have a few in our backyard. I really like them because they do show up out, especially in some of those little bit darker areas, brighten up an area nicely.
We have some native junipers, which are blue.
Mm-hmm.
We have pinyon pines. They're kind of blue. Manzanita, they're kind of green with red. You've got, mainly we've got a lot of dark, sumacs, a lot of dark, rich forest greens. And so the gold tends to almost illuminate. It's almost like you took a light switch and turn them on. The lights just come on. They shine in the landscape. More beautiful, especially from a deck. You're looking down on them.
Right.
They're glorious.
Mm-hmm. So very, very pretty out there. If you need something a little bit taller to maybe screen or go on a corner, two that do really nicely here are the Spartan or the Wichita Blues. They get 10, 12 foot tall,
sure,
3, 5 foot wide.
Yeah.
So just a couple of really nice ones if you need something a little taller.
And one's green. So the Spartan, that's one we use in our front patio. Mm-hmm. Green, green, green. And the Wichita Blue, I would say Skyrocket. There's some others that are
Blue Point Juniper.
Blue Points. They're just blue as can be. Silver blue, some of them. They're just glorious. Same shape, same size. Just one's blonde, one's a brunette. That's the only difference. Same form, same hardiness, same. Just one's blue and one's green. That's really the only difference.
Yeah. The only thing I've seen with the junipers you got to watch for is spider mites. But those are easy to take care of. If you know you got to watch for them, easy to take care of. So euonymus, things in that euonymus family. And don't ask me to spell it. Just spell it out phonetically. Come in and say, I need that
You really want to say euonymus?
And we'll know what you're talking about and we'll get you close to it. A couple that I really like is the golden euonymus. I like this one because it has a yellow and green leaf. There again, it's bright color out in the yard. How many times people come to us and say, I want something that blooms and is evergreen? Well, you know, it's not really out there. But this gives you really bright color out in the yard. And the it has Silver King is a white and green. So they're, again, giving you color out in the yard, not necessarily blooming, but that variegated leaf gives you really nice.
It does bloom. Well, I mean, it's insignificant. Okay. It's got little flower clusters. You're planting it for the foliage. Okay, got it.
Can't
it's evergreen,
it blooms.
Gold or evergreen white.
Right.
Evergreen. It's green, evergreen and white, evergreen. Golden white, kind of. Yeah.
The only negative with it is if you're in a deer area, the deer do like it.
Yeah.
But if you're in that deer area, put the Green Mountain boxwood in.
Well, good choice. Yeah.
Because it's a really pretty green one, but the deer don't like the boxwood.
Silverberry, Eleagnus.
Yes. That was my next one.
Oh, never mind. I retract my statement.
No, you're fine.
I'm just going down that deer
right.
path.
Right. The Eleagnus. So if you like that variegated, but you have the deer, the Eleagnus, that variegated silverberry is terrific. We have one of those in our front yard. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
Gets about 5x5.
Oh, about head high by head width. It'll go up above 6 feet. I keep the one in the front yard trimmed. I trim it hard, actually. It's getting away from me. I need to trim it hard this winter.
Right.
And then the one in the backyard, I'm letting it go. It's got up against a 6-foot fence. It's already close to 6 foot. I'm sure it'll bump up above that next year.
It's a really pretty one.
Yeah.
And it has a cousin that is just green, just has a solid green leaf.
Yeah.
That is tough as nails. You have a hot spot that you have a hard time getting water to, it's a really good one to put in.
I don't water any of ours. I cut them off the irrigation years ago, so they look great.
Clusterberry Gatoniaster is another really good one to put in, 6x6, low water use. And then, of course, your Heavenly Bamboo.
Oh, that's a good choice. Sure. Heavenly Bamboo or Nandina.
Mm-hmm. That one's really pretty. Has that red berry in the wintertime. That really stands out in the wintertime. It's a nice one.
It looks delicious, but animals
usually
don't bother it. So it's amazing that plant, it must be a taste or a sap or something within it that makes it bitter.
Yeah.
You don't care for, but also turns a bright red the winter of the year. So it's a good choice. All round evergreen interest for the mountains of Arizona.
Mm-hmm. So those are just a few of those kind of basic shrubs. I would say every yard needs some good basic shrubs, and you got to come in and look at them.
And these were mainly taller ones. There's a whole series of ground cover ones.
Oh, yeah.
So if you got some erosion issues, something like that, there's a whole series that are related to those that spread or more prostrate or ground cover varieties. So come talk to Lisa and the crew about evergreens that'll accent the anchors that'll accent your yard. Be right back.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Wondering why the grass is always greener on the other side? Well, it's probably because your neighbor used the all-purpose fertilizer from Waters Garden Center. Monsoon is right around the corner, and it's the perfect time to feed your plants. Waters All-Purpose Fertilizer is the only organic made especially for Arizona mountain soils. Don't buy a bunch of different fertilizer for your flowers, veggies, trees, or grass. This one does it all. The plants on your side will be happier, healthier, well, greener. Safe, natural, organic. Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
We believe in roses that smell like a rose at Waters Garden Center.
It is a good time to plant. It's a good time to fertilize. We've mentioned both those things. But roses, for just a segment, I don't know how deep we'll go, but your roses have been in bloom. Most rose varieties grow in the mountains of Arizona, and they thrive. We don't have the issues with black spot stuff. We can get a little bit of mildew, super easy to control, and only those, the mildew issues, really only in the shade areas. If you don't have enough sunlight, roses need at least 6 hours of sun to thrive and to put the flowers on for that shrub. And it doesn't matter the variety, climbing roses, knockout roses, your shrub roses, your ground cover roses, or your hybrides, floribundas, and David Austin's, all the varieties. In 5 seconds, I just named all the varieties of roses. They all need 6 hours of sun. Plus, they actually do better in full sun, blistering hot sun. I mean, surrounded by a rock lawn. I mean, just hot. They like hot. Treat them like you would any other tree or shrub in the yard. So put them on that drip system. Don't treat them like a flower. They've got a very deep root structure that goes down to China. They're actually difficult to pull out of the ground because the taproot is so large, so aggressive. That's what makes them so robust. And so your roses are going to thrive in the mountains of Arizona. They've been in bloom. I would say cut back all the spent blooms right now. Go through and just take a moment, take some pruners, and then people get really funny about pruning roses. Your grandparents would count three nodes and cut at a 45-degree angle, and they would sweat getting just the perfect right angle. I find roses are super forgiving. You don't have to be an expert. Go out, and the way I prune my roses, the spent buds, the spent flowers, the old flowers, I go back and I go back to another leaf joint, to a leaf, to whatever you see a leaf. I go back there, but I don't count the number of nodes or the number of leaf junctions. I'm actually going for shape. I go back to the shape that looks best, and that's where I prune my rose. So if you get this really big Cecil Bruner rose with long flowing branches, I don't cut back just a few. I'll cut it back 5 feet. Until it gets back to the core of the plant. That's what makes it look right. So don't sweat. You can fertilize your way out of any mistake you might make with a rose. It's super easy. And roses respond really, really well to the water's all-purpose plant food. Again, the main ingredient in that food is cottonseed meal. And you rosarians know, that's what you load up a rose bush with just before, about a month before you put it, you're going to enter into a fair. You're going to enter your roses, you give it cottonseed meal. So anything that blooms or fruits, cottonseed meal is like magic for blooming things, especially roses. So shape them, cut them back, and then fertilize them. But don't stress how much to prune back in the summer. Now, in the winter, it's a bit different. Roses, we prune at a different time here in the mountains of Arizona. Most of the Californians, most of you desert warmer areas, Tucson. Most of you folks prune your roses back in November, December, January. We don't do that in the mountains. What we do is we keep the structure of that plant intact. And all those canes protect the graft or that main the main heart of the plant. So it keeps the coldest of the cold out, keeps the coldest of the snow out, keeps the ice off. And so we leave all of those canes intact through winter, and then in early spring, late winter, usually in the month of March, we'll go through and we'll actually prune them back and shape them. You prune back roses much like you do grapes. Grapes, you're very aggressive. I mean, really, you prune everything off except the main trunk. Everything else gets pruned off up to about, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 foot high. That's how roses are similar. You prune everything off, and you go back to 3 to 5 core canes that are light green in color. If they're old and run down, let's say you bought an older house from an older couple that just hasn't been able to take care of their yard like they were gardeners 20 years ago. they started to lose steam a little bit. And you know, the last 5 years before they sold, they really didn't clean up like they should. And your roses are a mess. If you got some of that, sometimes it's easiest. It's just easier to start over. You could actually cut back those really beefy, barky, woody. The bark is so thick. The thorns look like they want to rip you a new one. They look dark. They look mean. They look aggressive. They look tired and old and grumpy. If it's that, you want to go back in March and really cut back hard some of those big canes. Your best flowers come from the light green, aggressive, young, vibrant canes. That's where the real showstopper flowers come from. Not the old, crusty skin. Is the bark is just thick and just, it's not going to put a flower on like it did in its youth. Roses should be the rock stars of your landscape. They should bloom nonstop from April through November, depending on the variety. Most are repeat bloomers. What is it? All of them except here at the Garden Center, we've got lots of roses. All of them are repeat bloomers, except for the Lady Banks rose. Or you folks from Southern Arizona, it's called the Tombstone Rose. The heart of Tombstone, Arizona, it's got a 150-year-old Lady Banks rose. It's ancient. It's got a trunk like a tree. It looks like a tree, but it's a rose. So in Arizona, it's only unique to Arizona. It's called a Tombstone Rose or Lady Banks or Banksia Rose. That's one that is evergreen and thornless. Those are the beauties. That's its claim to fame. But it only blooms in the spring. We do have those in stock, both in white and cream colored or yellow color. But every other rose, all the hybrid teas, the Floribundas, the Grandifloras, the David Austins, the ground cover, they're all self, they will repeat bloom, put flushes of growth, of flowers on through the growing season. Some of them, like the new ground cover series, they'll actually prune themselves. So a flower, they'll let that flower go, they'll prune it off, and they'll set another bud all by itself. The new varieties of roses are so easy. And I think every landscape in northern Arizona should have at least one. Now, some of my best, most admired roses, I grow in containers. It's the most lovely container rose. Now, I have them in bigger pots, maybe 8 to 8 inches deep or a little bigger. So a bigger pot where you grow a bigger shrub. You can grow a rose. I've got one in. It's been, must be 7-8 years old. It is in full bloom right now. So a knockout rose, double knockout. And it's the talk of the backyard parties at our house. You'd be, wow, look at that. Look how glorious. It's the perfect shape. I keep it proportioned and I fertilize it with the regularly with my Flower Power water soluble fertilizer. There's something just for containers that really makes them bloom. And they are a delight to look at, take care of. And it's the conversation piece of other gardeners that come over to the house and go, wow, it's in a beautiful cobalt blue pot. This beautiful, perfectly shaped 3-foot rose by 3-foot wide. It's a delight. You can do that. Roses are that robust, that hardy, that you can have it grow in a container for years. Just realize, give it full sun. They do like a rich soil. They like to be fertilized regularly. And then don't be afraid of pruning. Prune them back now for shape. Take the old flowers off and shape them back. Then in the month of March, we give them a hard prune. Take all that. Take it all off. If you're in doubt, climbers you do a little differently. Some of your really big roses, your hedge roses you do a little differently. But most of your roses, whether it's a hybrid tea, a Floribunda, hybrid tea is a long stem rose. That's what it is. Floribunda is a long stem rose, but on one stem I have a cluster of flowers erupting, almost like fireworks coming out the end of that. So it's not one rose, it's many. And then Grandifloras, they have both long stem and clusters of flowers coming off the same bush. Generally, the bush is a little bigger. Your climbers are just meant to climb up things, down barbed wire fences or up pergolas or up trellises. They like to climb. Ground covers only get knee-high or lower, and they're generally smaller flowers, and they're just low-care ground cover kind of roses. That's, in a nutshell, roses. Try them. They're fun and easy to grow.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for garden advice right for the higher elevation of Arizona, with local garden expert and the Mountain Gardener himself, Ken Lane. Listen in every week for Ken's tips, tricks, and techniques that are guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season.
Hi, Ken here with the Plants of the Week and our Lavender Shades Blooming Penta.
One of the best butterfly attracting plants. It's right up there with milkweed, only prettier.
Hummingbirds have to dance around all the butterflies of this deeply colored summer bloomer.
Plant a few in the vegetable garden to attract pollinators that help tomatoes and squash set more fruit, all for under $10.
Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott, where people who love to garden, they love to shop.
Wondering why my garden looks amazing? Well, that's personal. The personal garden shopper service at Waters Garden Center, that is. Before talking with my personal shopper, I had no idea which plants would be best for me. But now my garden is bursting with flowers and buzzing with hummingbirds. Just go to watersgardencenter.com, click on Shop, and choose Personal Garden Shopper. A Waters Garden expert will pick the perfect plants for you, personally. The Personal Garden Shopper, only at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
We are into our summer class series. So free classes every Saturday here at Waters Garden Center. The reason Lisa and I do this, last week we taught a class on container gardening. Over 50 people, 60, I don't know, it was innumerable. We didn't have enough chairs. Bring your own folding chair if you want to make sure you got a place to sit, because I've got about 50. We get creative, maybe 60, but then I run out of seating. It's free. The reason we do it for free is it's different. The cycles are different. So when you prune roses, like I mentioned earlier, is different. We do it in March. Other places do it in the fall. Now the soil is different. The water is different. The sun is different. The altitude is different. We just share those so that gardeners can up their game quicker. I mean, ultimately, you learn gardening by making mistakes. I mean, that's it. But we can help you make less mistakes, so you're at least you're not going backwards. If you make a mistake, you're always going, you know, sideways or forward. That's the secret. Never go backwards. And so we do that on different subjects. And it's something, I mean, let's face it, we're the little guy. We're a mom and pop. I mean, my wife works here. My daughter will check you out. We have maybe 15 employees. We're a small place. And so we're going up against the big boys, the boxes, the behemoths. These guys are predators. They want to take your lunchbox, your kids' college education, and your retirement, and they'd like to have you living on the streets if possible. There's no way for me to compete with their ad budgets, but I can certainly make it more personal. I can make it boutique-like. I can listen and help you, and I can do things that a box store can't even dream of doing. And this is one of those ways. We have our friends come together. Again, my name is Ken. We're friends. We're just leaning over the back fence, talking as neighbors and going, hey, this is what's working in my backyard. You might want to try it. It probably would work in your backyard too. Or here's a plant that's in bloom that's really beautiful. It would grow in your yard too. It's that kind of thing. And so garden classes, they fit. They just work. In fact, the box stores are trying this. They have their bleachers and you go up and they got their contractor that comes in and teaches you how to plumb or tile or whatever. Well, they're trying to mimic what we do, but they can't do it with personality and with neighborly advice like we can do it here. So we do this as a way to compete with the big boxes, and we find we make better friends that way. We're not into it just for the money. I would have kept my big corporate job. I was a corporate banker before this. I'd do that. You make way more money doing that. But I have more fun and I'll live longer and I can build friendships and neighborhoods and community by being a small business owner here in Prescott. So every Saturday at 9:30, it's a free garden class at the back of greenhouse. Come and learn how to be a better gardener. This weekend, Lisa was talking about how we attract more birds, butterflies, bumblebees into the yard. Next week, July 22nd, it's perennial flowers that impress. I mean, these are summer perennials that will stun your neighbors as they bloom every summer and come back every year. And then the last Saturday in July, easy growing roses. How do you get the most out of your roses? Then we go right on through. Check those out at watersgardencenter.com or Facebook / Waters Garden Center. We're pretty easy to find. And then for you business owners, business managers, nonprofits, that the folks that are managing nonprofits, come July 20, that's next Thursday, we've got a Chamber of Commerce mixer at our place here at Waters Garden Center. It'll be at 5 to 6:30 here at Waters Garden Center. Come, if you're not a Chamber of Commerce member, come as my guest and just check out what all the hobnobs about, what people are talking about. This is where the word of mouth starts. And we'll have a couple hundred people in the back greenhouse. Great food, great entertainment. Our nonprofit's going to be the Prescott Pops. They need help raising money, and some others. So come out. That's July 20. That's this Thursday from 5 to 6:30. Throughout the week, Lisa and I camp out here at Waters Garden Center. Please come visit. Say hi. The Get Real Men's Expo is dedicated to spiritual guys of all faiths. This year is full of exotic cars, motorcycles, and competitions filled with guys young and old in archery, baseball, and axe throwing. Ladies, yeah, you heard me right. This is a great father-son event that creates memories and motivates men to reconnect with their community, family, and a God that uniquely loves each one of us. Award-winning coach Tommy Bowden is flying in as our motivational speaker. Coach Bowden is not only famous for his wins at Clemson University and acclaimed author, but super motivational when it comes to living your faith as a man. His testimony is riveting. You have to hear it. I mean, wow! This year's expo is the morning of August 19th from 8:30 to 1. Coach Bowden shares his fearless leadership as a football coach, husband, and father at 11. Remember, August 19th, Yavapai College in Prescott and the Get Real Men's Expo. If you're a man, it's free.
We believe in roses that smell like a rose at Waters Garden Center.
You've been listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, the owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to the area. He can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located in Prescott at 1815 Iron Springs Road. Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Gardener.